Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Doing the Thing podcast. I'm your host, co-host Jason Madden. I'm with Phil Macko here today. How you doing?
I'm tired and I'm sore, man. I just started a new workout routine 2.5 weeks ago that's kicking my butt in a good way.
Right on. Hey, you know, most people downplay the importance of fitness in your business. By being physically healthy and maintaining that level of good nutrition and everything else only really helps everything else in your life, to include your business. So the topic that we're going to talk about today is not necessarily fitness, but it can definitely be related to it. Our topic is fear, fear of the unknown. So, Franklin Roosevelt once said that courage is not the absence of fear, but rather the assessment that something else is more important than fear. So what most people, so let's relate from career transition into fitness. So most people, when I was a strength coach, most people went from fitness program to fitness program, and they kept bouncing around. And there was a fear there that if they started something that they weren't familiar with, they're not going to get the gains that they're looking for. And really what happens for success in fitness is consistency. You can change programs, you can do things like that, but as long as you're constantly being consistent and working out, you're going to start getting some gains, especially if you add some good nutrition on top of that. Now, how does that relate to your career transition, Phil? How can we relate that?
Well, yeah, a couple thoughts come to mind. First of all, there's this whole concept of comfort zone that equates both to exercise and career transition. And here's what I mean by that. Some of us, start out walking 2, 3, 4, 5 miles a day, a few days a week, right? And we start to get good results from that, and we start to see changes in our body. Maybe we lose weight. But at a point in time, unless you push past that comfort zone, doing the same workout time and again, taxing those same muscles time and again, you're going to reach a plateau and you're not going to continue to grow, right? Yeah. And it is that level of discomfort in an exercise regimen where you start to engage new muscles, you do something different. Maybe you move from the treadmill to dynamic, high impact weight exercises, as an example, or maybe weight bearing exercises or body weight, whatever it may be. Until you do those things, you're really not going to move forward. And as we think about our careers, are we doing that same 5 mile walk 3 days a week? And have we reached that plateau? And are we achieving the things that we want to? Are we gaining and growing through that experience? Are we a little bit uncomfortable along the way, just like exercise? Does that lactic acid build up every once in a while? And then we look in the mirror 3 weeks later and say, nicely done. Or are we staying within that comfort zone and still being frustrated we're not seeing the results we want to see because we're unwilling to step out of that comfort zone? That's kind of the stuff that comes to mind for me.
Absolutely. And, I actually had a call with one of my old soldiers from when I was stationed in Fort Carson when I was active duty. He's a young warrant officer now. And he's about 12 years in service, and I hope he doesn't mind me talking about it. I'm not going to say his name or anything like that, but he is of the mindset that he doesn't want to retire with the military because I'm actually really proud of him for coming to this conclusion, because he found that, hey, I could only go so far in the military. I can only do so much in the military. And there's so many things that are outside of my control. My quality of life isn't where I want it to be. So he's creating this plan, and it's a really cool plan on how he's going to exit the military honorably and start this business that he's been doing on the side. Well, not start it, but be more involved in this business that he's been doing on the side over the last couple of years. And he sees the unlimited potential of it. And he sees that the security, the perceived security in the military isn't necessarily secure. He gets paid the same thing every month. It's always, the paycheck's always there. The benefits are always there. But what do you think the danger is of him staying there?
Well, the chance of conflict, the chance of relocation, continuity, a lot of different things impact on family.
Quality of life, relationships. He's had multiple divorces. Relationships suffer from it because he's constantly deployed, constantly on a temporary duty somewhere else. So he may have all those things in place, but the dangers in his mind are far outweighing just getting a paycheck every month. And I think that's where a lot of people in traditional jobs and corporate jobs, even blue collar jobs, I think that's where they get stuck.
Yeah, they do. And, you know, it's interesting. We fall into these comfort zones and lull ourselves almost to sleep sometimes. And then we wake up out of the hibernation and realize I'm not achieving the things I want. There's many, many risks involved. But still, stepping out of that comfort zone holds people back, right? It is that fear of change, the stress that is created from the unknown. We have to recognize that whatever it is, transitioning from the military, career transition, moving into a healthier lifestyle, there's a little bit of the fear of the unknown. How is this going to impact me, my family, my discretionary time? In my case, my very sore leg muscles from a leg workout yesterday. And can I deal with that discomfort temporarily in order to get to where I'm trying to get to long term? Is really a reconciling point that I think, you know, is important for all of us to think about.
Yeah, I don't think many people like the idea of that discomfort. And that goes back to the fitness side, you know, the tap out workout that you're doing, that's super uncomfortable, but you know, it's a temporary pain for a good gain, right?
Yeah, we hope so. You know, it's interesting for the book I did on sales process optimization, I was researching what holds companies back from making buying decisions. And there were a lot of different things that I came up with, but one of them was a Harvard Business Review study. And get this, it found that 29% of all staff members are willing to take risks and potentially change processes in the hopes of improvement. Now, what does that mean in reverse? That means 71% of the people are not willing to do those things, right? And even though we might shine a flashlight under the bed and look at all those hairy monsters that scare us and call them out like your friend did with the dangers he faces, there's still that resistance to take that next step. And fear comes in a number of different ways, right? It can be fear of the unknown, which we talked about, even fear of success, fear of financial impact. And then there's, you know, as if that weren't enough of a fear burden to carry, then there's all the fears of our family and friends that come into play.
Let's break that down a little bit. Why the heck would somebody have a fear of success?
You know, I don't know. My best guess is, and Jason and I work with the DISC personality profiling program pretty extensively, and folks that have a very high S for steadiness rating tend to appreciate consistency in their life. They tend to value having tomorrow be as predictable as today was and knowing what next week looks like. And as long as it's within the same range of comfort as this week, they stay there. But they, you know, when you consider making a change, you are putting a stake in the ground when you make that change because you've made it. And what if you made a mistake, right? I think what we have to sort out is there's a big difference between making a decision and making a bad decision.
Agreed. And also another thing I wanted to get at with that is that fear of success. Success comes with other things too. Along with success comes like with your situation with the steadiness individuals, like your analogy with the steadiness of individuals, that's going to change your life dramatically. Success changes you. It changes your lifestyle. It changes your level of responsibility. It changes the way people look at you. It changes the way that people talk to you. And also comes with additional responsibilities along the way. So imagine you have very successful business with lots of employees. You know, you have that success, but you're worried that you're going to be working with all these moving parts. When that fear could potentially be unfounded because most successful business owners that I know, they delegate a lot of that stuff. They're not involved in every single mechanism that's going on with their business. Maybe at first, but once you find success in that, you're able to delegate more.
Yeah, 100%. And but yeah, fear of success gets in the way. And it's kind of paradoxical when we talk about fear of finances, because again, the audience knows Jason and I are intentional in our practices, helping people explore self-sufficiency. And that means not relying on an employer, but instead being able to produce income, lifestyle, wealth, equity, to be able to be in more direct control of your finances in the future. And maybe 40, if not 50% of the clients I talk to, well, maybe that's high, maybe 35 to 40%. They've recently experienced a reduction in force, which means, quote unquote, you know, that's a nicer way to say they've been laid off, right? Yeah. They're in between jobs. They're exploring the job market. They're not getting the results necessarily as quickly as they want. We both know that that's probably due to applicant tracking systems and some other things, economic questions, all that. They're watching their investments ebb and flow, and sometimes losing money in a way that they can't really do anything about because it's market dependent. And yet when faced with an opportunity to step in front of that and make a proactive move to control their finances and future, it brings up all these fear factors. And you have to say to them, I understand. Look, you have a family to take care of. You have a mortgage. I get it. But let's look at the evidence here. You've been laid off. Your investments are ebbing and flowing. Why would you not look at a way proactively to take control of that situation? Whether or not you do it is up to you. But why wouldn't you be open to at least looking? That's that comfort zone issue again.
Yeah, it's about educating yourself and informing yourself so that you can make educated choices at the end of the day. And that's one of the things that helps with fear. There's information and education. Fear is basically absence of information. You know, when we don't know about something, we don't know, have familiarity or experience with something, and then, hey, go do it. Well, it's going to cause a little bit of fear. And the same goes with people that want to start a business, but they don't know what they're constantly searching for a business that's in alignment with their past experiences, their past skills and things like that. What we found is most people either A, don't find something that matches that or mirrors that, or two, A or two, I watched too much Mad About You growing up, or two, they do go into something that was based off of what they're doing, but they end up buying themselves a job. And instead of looking at something that might be adjacent to their skills, but something that might be really incredibly cool for them to do, and they actually find some enjoyment out of it. But they don't know that until they actually do some of that research, until they get exposed to it. It's just like the golfing analogy. I hate golfing, you know. And you know what? You know, some people, you know, are kind of scared to get on the course because they never learned. But in other cases, people love golf and they've never had any experience with it. But once they get out on the course and someone teaches them how to do it, you know, they learn that they figure out that they have to kind of learn and get some skills and do some training, but they end up loving it. You know, I was the opposite of that, but you know, it applies to so many different things.
Yeah, it sure does. And, you know, it's interesting to draw this parallel to in the top five fears consistently in almost every survey you look at, if not all of them, you know, there's things like fear of snakes, fear of heights, but always in that top five is fear of public speaking consistently, mm-hmm. right? People are just freaked out about public speaking, get in front of a group of 100 or 1,000 people. And at the same time, they respect and envy those who do successfully do so, right? And there's this perception that those keynote speakers that we saw in our last corporate getaway or wherever it might be, you know, they're just masters at this. Well, the reality is they're not. The reality is, number one, they've prepared. Number two, they've done their research. Number three, they've built a level of education behind those things that they present. And all that being said, and I say this from experience, having spoken around the world, and sharing a stage with my dear friend Gary Guller, who is an international keynote speaker. And we've done several presentations together. Every single one of them, he and I stood there with sweaty palms backstage, listening to them announce our names, drawing a blank, freaking out, walking out, and then realizing we've prepared so well for this that there's no chance we're going to fail. But that was after all those nail-biting, stomach-wrenching moments behind hearing our names called and then pushing the curtain open, walking out on stage. So fear of success, fear of failure, fear of the unknown. Don't think for a minute that others don't experience that. The way through that is preparation, education, building a good construct around you. But then again, as you do, now you have your family and friends, right? As we're thinking about career transition, they mean the most to you, and you probably mean the most to them, and they want to do what's right, and they're acting in good faith. And at the same time, there's a risk of them in good faith saying things that hold you back. So talk a little bit about that, Jason.
So, I mean, especially if you're the it really applies, especially if you're the breadwinner. You know, if you're the breadwinner, you know, you're going to make, if you're doing this trajectory where you're changing career paths, maybe starting a business or something like that, that's going to send up red flags to them because, hey, maybe you're not going to be able to support the way that you were in the past. And so they're going to question it. They're going to be concerned. They're going to want to know too. So it's always important to bring them with you on this journey so that they're being educated along with you. I think that's one of the most important things that I do in my coaching practice. I know other coaches do it. It's not going to work unless you bring them along with you on that journey.
Yeah. And sometimes, you know, recognizing the fact that as you're exploring whatever it is, let's go back to exercise and you're saying, like me, crazy me, I'm going to do Tap Out. It's a 90-day program. I'm committing to 6 days a week of grueling one-hour exercise sessions, right? And I know I'm going to be in pain, but I'm making this commitment to myself. And then sitting down and, you know, talking to my family about it. And they're like, dude, you're 61 years old. Is this really the right program for you? Maybe you should do the treadmill. I'm like, no. And here's why. You know, I researched it. I thought about it. The range of muscle movements that are involved, the dynamic motions are things that I wouldn't do on a treadmill and other exercises programs wouldn't incorporate. Here's the benefit I see to that. Mm-hmm. Why don't you watch a video, maybe do one with me, see what you think of it, right? That's the very same thing we suggest to people that are exploring career change and also exploring self-sufficiency. Hey, bring your family and friends along. You have a lot of information that they don't have. You have convinced yourself that this is a worthy investigation. Well, that doesn't mean you're getting buy-in from everybody else until you bring them through a little bit of that same learning with you.
Yes.
And as you do, they'll start to get a vision for themselves of why you're considering this and what value it might bring, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'd also like to add another layer to that is timing. You know, do you think there's ever the right time? Do you think it's ever the right time? Is it ever, do the stars ever align perfectly for it to start? Probably not. In most cases, no. And, you know, whether we're in a recession, we're going to be like, hey, maybe it's safer to stay where we're at because if I start something new, you know, maybe that's going to be dissolved in the recession. Or, hey, you know, we're in a really great economic period right now. It probably doesn't make sense to move because, well, there's so much competition. You know, what do you think about that?
Yeah. And you know, what ends up happening? And we have to ask ourselves a couple questions, right? Number one is, am I making the default choice? Which says, if I don't take action, if I'm not where I want to be in life, but I don't take action, it's not that you're not making a decision to do something. You're consciously choosing not to do something. That's the default choice. And there are consequences with that. Probably the biggest of which is, and I can't tell you how many times this has happened. I've worked with clients that begin to explore self-sufficiency. They get well into the road of it. And then all of a sudden things stall. And for a year, they disappear. 2 years, they disappear. And then one day I'll get a phone call that says, I really wish I would have done this a couple years ago. now it's too late, or now I'm 2 years behind where I could have been. I just got laid off and I thought this was the job of my dreams, whatever that is. The other risk that we run is that risk of regret, looking backwards years from now and going like Braveheart, right? If you were to, would you trade all days from here to then for one chance to be on this battlefield? Well, we're not expecting you to go to battle and get killed. But look, opening up the door so you don't have those regrets. And if at the end of your investigation, you say, isn't right for me, or timing's not right, and you have good reasons why, yeah, I respect that. Yeah. But you don't want to be in that position years from now to look back and go, I should have, could have, would have, but didn't.
Absolutely. They have to be valid. And, you know, just, you know, making that connection to fitness, it's the same thing. Like people are New Year. Some people start working out in New Year's. Others don't do it because there's too many people at the gym. And then other people don't. Others don't work out in middle of the year because maybe it's too hot in the summer, or it's just uncomfortable, or hey, I work a lot. Only time I have is to work out very early, and that sucks. Working out 5 a.m. isn't fun. But you know, if you have a goal and you want to do something, you got to do it. And the same thing with fitness. If you wait until the new year to start, that's a whole year or 6 months or whatever that you've missed, and you could have greatly improved your fitness and your health.
100%. So, you know, the reason we wanted to raise this, everybody, and thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this, we hope you'll be self-reflective. We also hope you'll like and share. But it's really important to step back and think, hey, am I making a default choice? Am I letting fear hold me back? Am I willing to take steps towards the goals that I have long term? If your situation isn't meeting those goals today, there are always options and possibilities for you. And just committing yourself to exploring them is really a great first step. So it's been a great conversation. Love the insights you shared, Jason. I got a lot out of that, and I hope that our audience did as well.
Agreed. Thank you, everybody, for listening, and we'll catch you next time.
Awesome.